I'm going to bring the meeting to order. Good morning, everyone. Representative Greiling, are you ready for us?
Madam Chair, I'm ready.
And Representative Greiling, I'm going to apologize ahead of time. I may end up having to excuse myself. I have a bill up in a different committee this morning. Who would thought a conflict on a Friday?
Madam Chair, it's busy around here.
That's okay. Yes. Members and those that are here, what we're doing, there has been a change in strategy for House File 196. Initially, Representative Greiling was going to, had split the bill up with multiple authors taking different sections, and we were going to keep the bill here. However, with the aggressive deadlines and the many different things that are going on around here, we've changed strategy. Representative Greiling is keeping the bill whole, and we're going to attempt to make it through, or you will attempt to make it through multiple committees. And so today we are attempting to pass House File 196 out of this committee. Are there any questions that members may have before we get started? Representative Tinglestad.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just to be clear then, as a division, today is our last time that we will see this entire bill before it moves to another committee then?
Yes.
Thank you.
And we will be taking up the governor's bill on the 9th. And all of you should have been given the announcement that there will not be a committee meeting next Friday. Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess first, do I need to move to take it off the table?
Yes, you do.
I would move, Madam Chair, members, that House File 196 be removed from the table.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I'd like to take up the two amendments that are mine, and the first one is the short one, A-10. And, Madam Chair, I would move the A-10 amendment.
Oh, Representative Bradley.
Okay, thank you. And, members, this one is a technical amendment from Deed, Department of Deed, that clarifies that we're deleting community employment, inserting community support fund, and what that does is make sure that this is available for all the types of employment, not just the cruise and enclave employment. So it's a clarification, and it's definitely a good one. We want this to be available for all the types of employment with people with disabilities.
Representative Lanning.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. A point of order. Has DE1 been approved yet? Are we now amending DE1, or are we amending the original 196?
We are still on House File 196. They did.
They give it off?
Yeah. No, we are on House File 196.
Okay. Madam Chair, Representative Greiling, is the DE1, are we going to be taking that up? Delete everything?
Representative Lanning, that is someone else's amendment, and so that's just one of the amendments that we're going to be taking up.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any questions or comments about Amendment A-10? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those against, please signify by saying aye. Representative Greiling, Amendment A-10 has passed.
Okay, then, Madam Chair, I would move Amendment A-11. And before we vote on that one, believe it or not, I'm going to be very glad when this bill gets engrossed. I have an oral amendment to the A-11 amendment, and it is on page 5, line 15. and it would be striking 2004 and putting in 2006.
Okay, we will incorporate that amendment into your amendment, Representative Greiling, and if you could explain A11.
Okay, Madam Chair and members, Amendment A11, the first section, Article 2, Section 2, says that foster parents must have mental health training before a child enters their home for foster care. The next section there amends Article 2, Section 5, the Teen Screen Grants, to allow children's mental health collaboratives, in addition to schools and family service collaboratives, to apply for the grants. The third, I'm just looking at my papers here. I'm wondering if I'm, yeah, I got the right one. Okay, the next one, I guess they're not quite, the amendment isn't in order with my sheet explaining what I'm doing here, so it's not, you can't follow along that way, but I'm going in chronological order of the bill. The next component is Article 3, Section 1, and this was a request from the Christian Scientists regarding the college student health insurance. It allows students with sincerely held religious beliefs to opt out of the program. And then the next section is regarding bordering states, and it clarifies that examiners in the bordering states must comply with the same requirements and limitations as examiners in Minnesota. And then the next section, Article 3, Section 4, place, and this is on the amendment, still on page 1. I guess they are still in order. 1.21 and on is places the loan forgiveness program under the jurisdiction of the Commissioner of Health. Now, the Commissioner currently administers loan forgiveness programs and so is experienced in developing and administering these programs, and that was a change that was suggested that makes sense. And then the next section is also to Article 3. Directs the Commissioner of Health to conduct a study regarding the status of inpatient beds to make recommendations on improving access to inpatient care, especially for children and adolescents. And this is what we discussed last week. Minnesota Psychiatric Society expressed concern about the lack of inpatient beds, that they had not ever offered language yet to the network to include in this bill, and now they have. So this would ask for a study of the problem and then with recommendations from the Commissioner of Health to be acted upon later. And then Article 3, Section 11 makes the Office of Enterprise Technology responsible for setting up the televideo conferencing between state and county agencies rather than the rather than admin. And then finally, there are technical and style changes that are just technical.
Representative Greiling, I did an error. We need to officially call this meeting to order.
Oh.
Seeing that there's a quorum, I do apologize. So we actually need to take back up A10 to officially be correct. And Representative Cohen, have you looked at the minutes from last week?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? I apologize, Representative Greiling. We need to take back up. If you could please move A10 again for us.
Madam Chair, I'd be glad to. I move Amendment A10.
Thank you. We have had discussion on that. So all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Representative Greiling, A10 has passed again. If you could remove A11.
Madam Chair, I'd be happy to. I move remove A11, and I hope the members, however's memories are long enough so I don't have to explain it all again.
I doubt that. But let's see if we have any questions by members about A11. Seeing none, we're going to keep moving then. All those in favor of amending A11, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. All those opposed? A11 has passed. Let's get moving.
And then, Madam Chair, finally, I have an oral amendment to the bill. brought to me by the Mental Health Legislative Network, and it's on page 5, line 25, and this is the original bill, starting with line 25. The mental health assessments required, this amendment is to delete section 3, and then on page 6, line 5, delete section 4. These, again, are requests, both of these, from the Department of Corrections. These were sections they were not comfortable with, and they were, rather than work any longer on them, we're just deleting them from the bill.
Representative Growling, can you just repeat that one more time, please?
I will. Madam Chair and members, Representative Paymar, this is an oral amendment, and it's page 5, line 25, section 3, where it says subdivision 10, mental health assessment required. And that goes through page 5 and up to page 6, down to line 6.4. And then the other one is on page 6, line 5, going through line 15, section 4, subdivision 5, mental illness as a contributing factor, striking that section as well. Here's some Paymar, you got out of some work.
Are there any questions by members? Seeing no, we'll vote on this. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Representative Browning, your oral amendment has passed. However, wanting to make sure that the record is clear, and instead of bringing back A11 back up, we actually need you to do an oral amendment around the date in that section again.
Okay, great. Madam Chair.
Yes, I'm causing work this morning.
I totally lost as to where I was amending that 2004 to 2006. Oh, here. Madam Chair, it's on Amendment A11.
Okay, and
on page 5.
Now, Representative Brown, we've already passed this amendment, so actually we need to amend the bill. And so this is section 19 of the original bill. Yes, maybe we should have counsel help us with this to make sure we got the right spot. I believe it's Article 4 in Section 19.
Madam Chair, in the A11 amendment, I'm trying to see if that is new. That's new language, I believe.
It's new language. Okay, so actually what we need to do is have you move an oral amendment and have counsel fix it.
Madam Chair, we definitely need counsel, but this is an amendment, an oral amendment to Amendment A11, so it would be not in the bill yet.
But we've already voted on the bill. How about we move to reconsider A11? We will move to reconsider A11. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? We're going to learn this together. Okay, Representative Greiling, A11, if you could do that oral amendment.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I'll move A11, and I have an oral amendment on page 5, line 15, striking 2004 and putting in 2006, and I would just incorporate that amendment.
Okay, we're going to vote on A11 for the last time, I promise. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those against? Thank you. A11 has passed. Representative Growling, is the bill in the shape that you intend it to be?
Madam Chair, it is in the shape I would intend it to be, and I know there are other amendments.
Before we take up the other amendment, I think we should hear from, briefly hear from the two testifiers. Just neither one? Just Karen, if we can get Ms. Ephraim up for a brief testimony before we move to the amendments, because I know two of the amendments have to do with her testimony. And want to thank you, Ms. Ephraim, for coming again and having your testimony short. And hopefully you'll be able to keep your remarks brief because we have so many amendments. Please identify yourself.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. My name is Dr. Karen Ephraim. I am a mother of three, a pediatrician, and a policy analyst for EdWatch and three other national groups that have significant concerns about mental health, the mental health screening provisions in this bill. As I stated last week, teen screen in and of itself has, and psychiatric screening in general of children has the significant problem of lack of expert agreement on the diagnostic criteria for the illnesses, much less the screening instruments themselves. There's also the concern of rapid developmental changes in children, which make it hard to accurately assess them. The high false positive rates with these screening instruments, the lack of effectiveness of screening, as pointed out by national groups and peer-reviewed journal articles. But I also now want to talk about the issue of consent. We have been told that teen screen is an opt-in consent type of survey and program. However, Dr. Schaefer's own research papers, as well as the teen screen manual, points to the fact that passive consent, which is opt-out or assumed consent, is used. And the manual actually also has, besides talking about passive consent in several places, actually mentions no consent being used, which is a very significant problem. In addition, Teen Screen has trained its affiliates on how to avoid the Protection of People Rights Amendment, which is federal law requiring, again, opt-in parental consent for non-emergency examinations dealing with several issues, including mental health or psychiatric issues. Then I want to talk about consent for treatment. We are told that parents can accept the follow-up and the treatment recommendations at their discretion, but there have been several cases around the country where consent for treatment has actually been forced. And I will mention the case of Elia Gleason in Texas, a 13-year-old African-American who underwent a psychiatric screening at her school under unclear consent procedures. She was deemed to be suicidal even though she wasn't, and was forcibly committed by child protection to the state mental hospital, where she was denied family contact for 5 months, physically restrained 26 times, treated with 12 different psychiatric medications, many of which are not approved for her age group, all without parental consent. There are several other cases where children have been forced to take psychiatric medications at the behest of schools, and at least two cases where they have died from the cardiac toxicity of those drugs. These drugs are not benign by any stretch of the imagination. A review of 2,280 studies of the Ritalin drugs, the stimulants, have found that they are not effective for children in the long term. And there have also been significant concerns with the psychotropic drugs, where now 2.5 million children are on antipsychotic medications, the most potent medications. A review of the side effects of those found 45 deaths, the youngest being 4 years old. Rebecca Riley of the Boston area was diagnosed with bipolar at 28 months and put on three different psychiatric medications. She died, and now her parents are being charged with poisoning the child. So I just ask you to really, really be cautious with these screening programs. Poor and minority children are drugged out of proportion to the mainstream population. This has been shown in several studies, and the NAACP has worked on the same legislation that EdWatch and Evil Forum have supported to, on the national level, to prevent medication coercion. So these are all significant things that you need to consider as you are dealing with the provisions in this bill that deal with psychiatric screening. I'd be happy to.
Thank you, Ms. Ephraim. Are there any questions by members? On behalf of the committee, we'd like to thank you for coming back to testify. We are going to get right back to amendments, and we're going to take up A9. I believe this is our vice chair's amendment.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to move Amendment A9.
Representative Reinhardt, if you could explain A9 for us, please.
Yes. A9 is the mental health certified peer specialist, and we heard testimony regarding that last week, but it's this amendment would be inserted on page 26 after line 4. It establishes the mental health certified peer specialist whose services would be reimbursable under medical assistance when provided to consumers of intensive rehabilitative mental health services or adult rehabilitative mental health services. And I can certainly go over the particular sections of the amendment if you'd like me to, but just a little background. The committee heard eloquent testimony last week from Maureen Marin of the Consumer Survivor Network regarding peer-to-peer support services. She noted the powerful benefits that come from interactions with people with similar struggles that are achieving their personal recovery goals. She shared the history of this work and recognized Georgia as the first state to offer this service as Medicaid reimbursable in 2000. There are now 6 states offering this service. Peer support services are recognized as best practice in the mental health arena, and this program has modeled success not only in other states, but right here in Ramsey County. I've included in your packet 2 letters of endorsement from Ramsey County on peer-to-peer support services. And I'd like to close my brief comments with a statement from a young woman named Sherry. I couldn't believe it. She had a mental illness just like me. She looked happy and successful. If she could do it, so could I. That's what peer-to-peer, peer specialist services are about.
Representative Ryland.
Madam Chair, this is a good amendment.
Members, are there any questions or comments for Representative Reinhardt? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Representative Reinhardt, A9 has passed.
Thank you.
Representative Lanning, I believe A17 is yours. Is that correct?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to make some observations about this section, Section 1 of Article 3, as a lead-in to the amendments. Representative Greiling, as I read this section, I don't see anything where it requires mental health coverage as a part of the student health plan. Can you help me with that?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Lanning. You know, that was what we discussed before the committee hearing, and as you know, I was going to support line 1.3 and 1.4, but take objection with line 1.2. And members, the reason I was because me having comparable would mean that in addition to what was offered by the higher ed institution, the comparable insurance, if the student had other insurance, would also provide mental health coverage, and then changing it, though, just to providing would not ensure that. However, Representative Lanning pointed out that this section doesn't have that in there either. And so actually my preference would be to leave in having comparable, but work on amendment language to actually require mental health coverage. I mean, that's the whole point of this bill, which is Representative Larry Hosh's bill that was written about in the paper today, is to make sure that students who are, you know, coming down with a mental illness, which is common in college, have insurance that covers it. And so I think that Representative Lanning is right. The current section, unless there's someone that can point this out to me, his amendment would not matter unless we also change this section to say that the insurance that's required needs to cover mental health. So, Madam Chair, I would love to set this amendment aside and ask legal counsel to help get some language to make sure that we're requiring mental health coverage with the insurance that's being provided here, and then come back to this amendment, at which case I would support lines 1.3 and 1.4, but not line 1.2. But if the way the bill is right now, it wouldn't matter, but I would like it to matter.
Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would support the language requiring that colleges and universities have a student health plan available, and that plan have mental health provisions. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. I spent many years administering college student health programs as part of my responsibility as a dean. But if we're going to go so far as to require every student to have this, I think you need to keep in mind that there's some significant costs associated. I think even the most basic of student health plans will cost about probably $600-$700 a year, and obviously students are concerned about the ever-rising costs of going to college. And so in enacting a requirement that every student have this, we need to keep in mind that we're adding to the costs of going to college. Now, certainly every student should have coverage, and the institution ought to do everything it can to get students to sign up for it. But I think we need to be aware of the implication here. And I would imagine that this provision also then needs to go to the Higher Education Committee. And I know you're going to get lots of reactions from the higher education community about the way this section is currently drafted. And I have another amendment here that I would like to talk about as well. So I guess I wanted to let everybody know that there's a problem here.
So, Representative Lanning, do you want to put the A17 aside and have counsel work on language? Do you want to work with Representative Greiling and as it travels through the committees? What is your preference for today?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd be happy to work with Representative Greiling in trying to get this worked out.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Greiling.
Madam Chair, I'd be happy to go that route, but I see also a head nod from our legal counsel that perhaps she has some language that would allow us to address this right now.
Ms. Davis, if you could just tell us what you have.
Madam Chair, what I would do, I think we need to define what qualifying health insurance coverage is in a whole new section. But if you would like language right now, I would add on line 12.32 after program the words that includes mental health coverage.
Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It sounds to me like Representative Lanning would be okay with this. Maybe we could add this in just when the bill gets engrossed. We'd have at least that much, and then maybe we still need to work, Representative Lanning and I and Representative Hosh, preparing for the Higher Ed Committee.
Representative Lanning?
Yes, the amendment that the council is offering, I think, is an improvement clarifying this section. I would also like to talk about the having comparable language as well, if I might, at this point.
Okay. What we need is, yes, because then we need to decide if we're going to vote on the entire amendment or if we're going to do something else. So, Representative Lanning, did you want to say something about the comparable?
Yes, if I might. Thank you, Madam Chair. My concern about the language having comparable coverage is that typically a student health plan doesn't provide the kind of coverage that many other family health plans provide. It's usually less coverage. It's more economical, cheaper coverage. And so to say that they are participating in a health insurance plan having comparable coverage, I would hope that it would be better coverage. And so I don't think we want to lower the standard for other coverage that would qualify. And so that's why I suggested just another approach or just saying providing coverage. And because it is going to, almost in most cases, it's going to be more coverage than what they currently have.
Representative Reinhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Lanning, I'm wondering if you would accept a friendly amendment of saying at least comparable coverage.
Madam Chair, that would take care of it as well.
Representative Breiland?
Madam Chair, it's better and better.
Okay, let's, Representative Lanning, if you could move the amendment that Council brought up as it relates to page 12, lines 1232, after program and insert that includes mental coverage as an oral amendment first.
I would so move.
That's moved. All those in favor of that amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Seeing none, that oral amendment has been adopted. And Representative Reinhart, if you want to move your amendment.
Page 13, line 6, instead of delete, on your amendment, I'm just saying,
we're going to work on the
okay,
from the bill.
Okay, page 13, line 6, inserting between having and comparable the words at least.
Yes, Representative King.
Just a point of parliamentary inquiry. I think we still have the Lanning A-17 amendment in front of us, and he amended his amendment, and now
Representative Single said he never officially moved it.
Correct.
Okay. Sorry.
I'm glad you're not. You haven't left yet. So I'll repeat the amendment to insert at least between having and comparable on line 13.6.
Any questions by members? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? Seeing none, Representative Reinhart's oral amendment has been adopted. So, Representative Lanning, we can put A-17 to a side, and you will continue to work with Representative Reiling?
Madam Chair, what I would like to do then is to move lines 1.3 and 1.4 on A-17.
Representative Lanning is moving to divide the amendment and to have lines 1.3 and 1.4 be adopted. Representative Breiling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this is an improvement because instead of just saying what you're going to do, you have to actually have to demonstrate that you have complied. And so I appreciate this improvement.
Are there any questions or comments by members? Seeing none, Representative Lanning's A-17, lines 1.3 and 1.4, we're going to vote on. Members, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Seeing none, the divided amendment has passed. We're going to move to A-19. Representative Lanning, I believe that is you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the section of the part or subdivision of section one that gives the most heartburn here is the penalty provision, where it says any public or private institution of higher education failing to carry out its responsibilities under this section shall pay a penalty of $50 per student per day, every day during which the failure continues. I believe that this penalty is way too severe, and I know when this bill goes before the Higher Education Committee, you're going to hear a lot from the higher education community about that stiff penalty. So,
Representative Lanning?
I would move
Representative A19. Before you move anything, we were looking at A19, and you started to discuss, I believe, A15. So, members, you may be confused. We can do, go ahead and do A15.
A15 is my first
amendment. A15 that you're speaking to.
Yes.
Representative Ryland.
Madam Chair, once again, I believe Representative Lanning is saving us heartburn in higher ed, and this is an improvement as well. Thank you, Representative Lanning. Well, I support both his A15 and A19 amendment. Thank you.
Are there any questions or concerns by members?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Lanning.
The way I was approaching this, my preference is A15, and A19 was an alternative if A15 isn't acceptable.
We always need backup plans, Representative Lanning. We are going to vote on A15. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? A15 has been adopted. So, Representative Lanning, we don't need A19?
That's correct. Thank you.
And Representative Tinglestad, I believe A16 belongs to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll move the A16 amendment. It's on page 11 of the bill, and it deletes Section 5, and this is the Columbia Teen Screen Grants. We heard testimony today, and testimony the other day on this as well. And so I have this amendment, and then depending on what happens, looking at the A14 to potentially follow this up. So at this point, I'd like to urge committee support of the A16 amendment.
Representative Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I would strongly oppose this amendment. This is something that I feel very strongly about, and just to set the record straight, the earlier testifier her information does not square with my information. The Columbia Teen Screen is used for teenagers to screen for depression, anxiety, and substance abuse, and it is very definitely an opt-in program. It's not like the teen or like the student survey that we have here in Minnesota, where students have to and their families have to opt out and remember to send the paper. This is the opposite. They have to actually opt in. It's a very high standard, and if families are not interested or desirous of this screening, then they do not opt in. Furthermore, the students themselves have to voluntarily participate. There is no coercion, and most people do participate, and there's information that is gleaned from it, which helps students to do better in school. If there is a positive with the screen, which is very, very accurate, it's more accurate than a pap smear. It's 2.5 times more accurate than colon cancer testing, which most of us would, you know, participate willingly if we could find out we could avoid those types of illnesses. Then it's up to the family and the student to follow up. It's nothing that is done in the school. There's no drugging of students in school, no medical care provided in school. So just to set the record straight. But I do think that it's a service to families and students. And we should keep this section in and discuss it further in K-12, where I have the small bill and this is in the big bill.
Members, Representative Wardlow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Bradley, is there a study or a report of that study pertaining to Columbia Teen Screen that verifies what you're saying?
Madam Chair, Representative Wardlow, I wasn't aware this amendment was coming up here to bring in all the, I got the amendment, I was aware last night that it was coming up, but I was planning the major testimony for this particular provision in the K-12 Finance Committee, and I have folders for everybody. I could get you one later, and Madam Chair, I could get those folders for this committee. I wasn't aware we were going to spend this much time on this today, but there is substantial research that backs up the things. Well, it's just plain what they do, so we don't need research for procedures. But there is research that this is an accurate diagnostic tool. It's been developed at Columbia University. We had a hearing, not a hearing, but an informational meeting on this last year over in the Capitol, and people from Columbia actually came here and talked to many of us about this screening tool, and it was also, that meeting was sponsored by the National Alliance on Mental Illness, of which I serve on that board, and their point person on children's mental health came here as well and provided information. So I could certainly provide you with that information.
Representative Wardlow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a follow-up. Do you have a participant that can come testify at your next...
Representative Bradley.
Madam Chair, Representative Wardlow, you mean a student who has participated?
Representative Wardlow.
Correct.
Madam Chair, Representative Wardlow, I don't personally know of a person who has participated, but we certainly could check on that. I know that we are going to have a testifier from Duluth, because Duluth has used this screening tool, and they're very enthusiastic about it. I'm not certain about providing an actual student, but we can try.
Representative Wardlow. Oh,
thank you. Or a parent of that student, but maybe the testifier from Duluth would qualify for that part. I don't know. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Wardlow.
Representative McFarland.
Yes. Madam Chair and Representative Grayling. Two things. Will this also procedurally go to E-12 policy then, too?
Representative Grayling.
Madam Chair, Representative McFarland, it's going to... It will go through policy, and they have the choice of hearing it or not hearing it, and I don't know what that choice will be. We'll have to ask Representative Mariani.
Okay.
But it will be heard in the subcommittee of education, of K-12 finance, that Representative Willie Dominguez chairs, and you are serving on that, so you for sure will get to hear it at least twice. We'll hear it in that committee, and we will also hear it in K-12 finance,
okay.
And it's up to Representative Mariani if he chooses to hear it as well.
Okay.
Representative McFarland.
Yes. When we were introduced to this bill, this goes on to page 6 where we talked about the intake procedures, and at that time it was mentioned something about free screenings are available. They take about 4 minutes. Is there any way that, I don't know that this particular screening could be done, is there a more efficient, cheaper way to do analysis of students?
Representative Grayling.
Madam Chair, Representative McFarland, perhaps we can look at the actual tool. It also is a short paper and pencil test that's very cheap. It's not the test that costs the money. That's free. It is getting people trained, of course, to use it, and that's why we need some, why the bill is offering grants to get it going.
Okay.
Representative McFarland.
And just an observation in general, not necessarily about this, but I would really like to see that our staff in our schools are trained so that they could also see signs of danger, because this is just a snapshot in time, and we need to have more day-to-day observation of our students, not necessarily targeting students. I don't want to do that, but I would like to prevent some bad incidences.
Parlin, that's an excellent observation. And, you know, I talked with the staff at the school readiness program and early childhood family education in Roseville area schools, and they do, of course, the developmental screening of preschool children, which is designed to catch a variety of things. But they said, actually, by doing exactly what you said, they ID students who need some help, and then they suggest that their families may want to follow up, and that is a very effective way as well for programs where they really know the kids and observe them in small groups. Unfortunately, with teenagers, we all know they're kind of herded through some of these large schools, and they don't have that personal observation with a consistent adult as much as the little kids do. But that would be ideal, and that is, in the early childhood case, at least with that anecdotal information, an even more effective way. They tested them, too, and then, you know, that verified what they saw first.
Representative McFarland?
Yes, Madam Chair. This also leads to the shortage of counselors and support mm-hmm. services in our schools that need to be addressed. And so I just wanted to bring up that point, too.
Thank you. Representative Brenner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative McFarland, you may be aware of this also, but and this isn't a comment about the lack of, or the shortage of counselors, because I agree with you there, but many schools are already doing what you suggest, and I can speak very strongly for the Mankato area public schools. Our counseling staff have done in-services with all of our secondary staff on mm-hmm. observations and sharing information about those observations from you know, the students they interact with in the classroom, and we did that in connection with our Yellow Ribbon program. So I know that schools are trying to do that in the sense of using informal information to inform counselors so that they can right. protect students.
Representative Tebelstad, would you like to comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just kind of a comment related to process here. You know, originally, when this committee first started, we were told that it would be split up into different bills, and you know, I appreciate that that's changed over the last few weeks here. But you know, if this A16 amendment would pass, there would still be the option for Representative Greiling to have her bill separate in the K-12 committee, and I think this is one piece of this bill that may be controversial or maybe lots of questions, may actually slow down the movement of this bill from committee to committee. So if this part came out, it's not sort of killing the issue. It's just offering other options where this bill could travel separately as the Teen Screen Grant. So I did it with that intention, Madam Chair.
Representative Bradley?
And Chair, again, I strongly oppose the amendment. I don't think it will slow the bill down because each committee that sees the bill will only be dealing with their portion. So only K-12 will, again, be looking at this section unless the health care committee wants to look at it as well. But it won't have to be heard in Representative Paymar's Judiciary Committee, and it won't have to be heard in Housing, and it won't have to be heard in Representative Ravina's committee.
Anyone else? We're going to vote on A16. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying aye.
No.
Aye.
No.
No. Aye. No. Yeah. That was great. Representative Tingle said your amendment does not prevail.
Madam Chair, I'd like to offer the A14 amendment as an alternative. Members, with the A14 amendment, that it also deals with the Columbia Teen Screen Grants on page 11. This would put a reporting requirement in place so that basically we could check on what's happening with this and do some follow-through as far as some of the things we've heard and then what's actually going to be happening. So urge support of the A14 amendment.
Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would not mind there being some reporting. I think all grants should have reporting, but I would question some of the reporting that's required here because I believe it could be confidential information. After a student takes the teen screen and voluntarily by the family, voluntarily by the student, and then something is flagged, it is then the parents and the students who follow up, not the school. And I just wonder if we want to get into that kind of reporting, which is people's private information.
Representative,
thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Grinning, good point. Perhaps this needs a little bit more modifications here. So I'll withdraw this one at this point and work on it further.
A14 has been withdrawn. Representative Tinglestead, would you like to move the DE1 amendment?
Madam Chair, I hope that would be the last amendment. Have we covered the other ones? I think Representative McFarland has one.
Yes, we can. If we can move, who, I'm not sure who A12 belongs to.
That's me.
Representative McFarland.
I would like to move Amendment A12.
Representative McFarland moves A12. If you'd like to speak to the amendment.
I have to get to it first. Okay. I guess my concern is, are we always going to be able to find qualified people to make, to fill those positions in all ethnic groups? So therefore, I would move to delete and must be of the same culture or ethnicity as the clients. It's kind of limiting us.
Representative Bryling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative McFarland, I understand that, you know, your concern, and there is a scarcity, which is exactly why we're wanting to have these loan forgiveness programs in there. It might be that less people can take advantage of them with the language that's in the bill, but I think if we strayed from the language in the bill, we would stray from the intention of this section, which is to have people that are in the mental health profession be able to recognize the mental illness as opposed to the culture. So if, for instance, you took Madam Chair and put her in a Native American culture, she might not be any more qualified than I as a white person, if we were both trained in mental illness, to separate out the culture. And that's the purpose of this amendment, is that there would be a person who is understanding the difference between mental illness and the culture.
I understand, Madam Chair. I understand the intent, but the word must seems very strong there. Could there be some language that would say maybe priority given to, you know, some language, changing that to be a little bit more forgiving?
Representative Griley?
Madam Chair and Representative McFarland, I think that would defeat the purpose. You know, I realize we wouldn't be spending quite as much money with the strict language because there wouldn't be as many qualifying. If there's, you know, if the Mental Health Legislative Network would instruct me differently, I would take a look at it. But, you know, just going with my own thoughts, they're telling me I'm right. So, good.
Any other members have comments on this amendment? Well, I'll take a moment. I, too, speak in opposition. For me, I understand, Representative McFarland, we don't have as many qualified counselors, professionals of color, but to have a loan forgiveness program, we actually used to have incentives to bring in individuals of color into the nursing program and into some of the other programs where there is a huge disparity and trying to figure out, and in particular in mental health, where there are so many cultural differences, and in particular in the African-American community, I'll speak since I know that community quite well, the difficulties of getting past history and accepting that it's okay to go see a therapist. And if we could get more professionals. Right now we have, I believe, 10 licensed psychologists. Not psychologists. It's I forget what the name is, but there's only 10 of them in the entire state. A psychiatrist is the word. That and we need more, especially with the with so many things going on with depression and can go on and on. So right at this moment, and as a loan forgiveness program, I speak in favor of the current language, Representative Wardlaw.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Now, you're talking on page 16 of the original bill, but didn't A11, shouldn't we be talking about A11, which deleted this section, and be talking about 2.9 on page 2 of A11?
Representative Wardlow, A11 did not delete it.
Or am I just looking at it wrong? I was getting confused during all the, you know, so.
Representative Wardlow, it's not just you.
Representative Chair, Representative Wardlow, I had to check back too. I think we did amend that section, but what we did was put it under the jurisdiction of Department of Health rather than administration, because they have a track record in administering loan forgiveness programs.
Anyway, on A11 page, or page 2, line 9, it says the same verbiage, so I was. Okay, never mind.
Representative Wardlow, thanks for verifying. We need to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're going to go ahead and vote. Oh, Representative McFarland, I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, after hearing everything, I would like to withdraw my amendment.
A12 has been withdrawn. I'm not sure who A13 belongs to.
That's me again.
Representative McFarland.
I would like to move amendment A13.
Representative McFarland moves A13. If you could speak to your amendment.
Yes. Representative Greiling also. I remember that when this was originally presented, I think Representative Tingelstad brought up the fact that we have two suicide prevention grants in two different places, and I thought there was going to be some attention maybe to combining them. And this amendment would combine the two programs into one to be administered by one agency and be overseen by the Commissioner of Human Services. To me, that would bring more efficiency, and it would be more effective.
Representative Greiling.
Madam Chair, Representative McFarland, I really appreciate your working on this one and any help you may have gotten from the suggestion from Representative Tingelstad from last week. This one, like Representative Lanning's, makes it a better bill, and I very much appreciate the work that you did.
Are there any other comments by members? Seeing none, we will vote on A13. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those against? A13 has prevailed. Representative Tingelstad, I believe you have our last, can you believe that? Our last amendment. If you would like to move that.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. I'd like to move the DE1 amendment. It's coded 80196DE1.
You want to go ahead and speak to the amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. First of all, I want to thank Representative Greiling for all her hard work on this issue. I know she has many years in working hard on mental health issues, and we definitely need to improve our laws in the way that she's outlined in her bill. But I guess today I'm offering the DE1 amendment more as just a point about procedural things within this division here. And when we were originally told that the bills would be broken up into smaller bills, I thought that was a good procedural motion to thoroughly give each issue a good airing, as there are a lot of new policies that would be enacted in Representative Greiling's legislation. But, you know, I understand deadlines and procedures that we need to today move out the House File 196 as one large bill. So basically with the DE1 amendment, this is the governor's bill. It's House File 1067 that Representative Huntley is chief authoring procedural thing to help the governor's office get an airing on this issue. And I understand that we are going to have this bill heard in committee. But basically as an alternative to Representative Greiling's bill, and I had hoped that through the process of this committee meeting several Fridays that we would be able to perhaps see a blending of House File 1067 with Representative Greiling's House File 196. That's not going to happen in this division, which is unfortunate because we're the division that specifically looks at mental health issues. And actually today, Representative Bruce Anderson was not able to be here at committee. He had an important engagement in his own district, and he's the lead Republican on this committee, so actually I'm submitting this on his behalf since he's not able to be here today. But basically, with the governor's plan, it was based on the recommendations of the Mental Health Action Group, and it really builds on the 2006 legislation. Provides for $45 million in new investments over the biennium and then $38 million thereafter. That's a comprehensive mental health benefit set. You know, and there are some similarities, of course, with Representative Greiling's bill, and she offers some different options. Mainly, what I look to with the governor's bill is that it has a fiscal note that is specific. We, you know, understand the dollar value of the package, and I know we're not a finance division here, but I still have many questions about House File 196 and the fiscal impact that all these various provisions have. And I certainly hope that at least part of House File 196 passes at some point, but I think, you know, we do need to look at the cost of the legislation and you know, put some provisions in place that are more cost effective now and maybe phase in some of the other things that may be more costly over the years. So with that, members, after the DE1 amendment as an alternative.
Representative Grilling, I'll let you speak before I go.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just had word that the department actually surprised this one is being offered. I did talk to Assistant Commissioner Wes Koistra about the governor's bill and also about House File 196, and he said that they mesh quite nicely together. A lot of the same people worked on both bills. And there's many differences, of course. And if Representative Anderson was here, I wish you were here, Representative Tinglestead, because I would chastise him. Because his favorite part that I have ever worked on to improve the mental health system is employment, and it's not in the governor's bill. So shame on you, Representative Anderson, wherever you are. Another part that wouldn't be in here is Representative Reinert's amendment, the peer-to-peer that we just added in, et cetera. Of course, the House File 196 is a much bigger and more expensive bill, and we are asking for a blueprint for where we should be going, and that's why we just added in the shortage of psychiatric beds study. Because I asked the network, as I said, when we started this bill 3 weeks ago, to think of what are all the places where we are missing a mental health system. The governor was looking at a $45 million bill, I think, trying to look at what could be done in the immediate time. So they're not incompatible. He's got, what can we do this session? Mm-hmm. This bill is a multi-pronged, what can we do in the next session or two or three? And so I think that it would be a disservice to all the people who have dreamed for the future and not just this session to pass this amendment.
Thank you, Representative Gladwin. Members, I'm going to speak against the amendment at this time. As Representative Tinglestead stated, we are going to be hearing this bill in 2 weeks. Besides the things that was noted by Representative Gladwin, some of the conversations and discussions that we really need to have as it relates to the voluntary plan of increased moving into HMOs and things of that nature that is being proposed. In addition to that, for members that weren't here when we started the meeting, when I explained, the intent was to have multiple bills. When the deadlines were set and realizing how aggressive they were going to be, the amount of bills just became to be too much for this body to handle. And staff out of the leadership corner suggested that we go ahead and keep it as one bill. And that has happened just in the last few days. And so you found out, as soon as we found out, that we were going to be changing strategy and wanting to make sure that individuals understanding, Representative Tinglestead and other members may have similar frustrations around this. It's the process around here. We go with the flow. I just was explaining to Rachel the word fluid and what that really means and how much you'll hear that in the next few weeks and going into the end of session. But at this time, I don't think that it's fair to members, especially our freshman members who may have not even been familiar with what the governor was proposing last year and the new additions that the governor's bill would be proposing without having that bill in an entirety, making sure that members have read everything and we've had enough time to discuss and debate the different provisions in that bill. So I don't think that this is a good time for that bill, but we will vote on it. Representative Tinglestead.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I just have a question procedurally then. Representative Grilling, how do you see these two bills potentially moving? I mean, as the chair says, we're going to hear the governor's bill in 2 weeks. So at what point would there be a blending, or when would they come together before conference? What do you envision with some of the issues in the governor's bill?
Representative Bradley.
Madam Chair, Representative Tinglestead, well, two things. One, I would invite all of the committee members here, as well as anyone in the room, to the next Mental Health Caucus. It's going to be on March 7th, which is a Wednesday, at 5:30, and I don't yet have a room number from Representative Hosh or Representative Anderson, but the topic of that Mental Health Caucus, which goes for 1 hour, will be comparing the two bills. And we have our own Mr. Pollack from this committee working on a side-by-side as if it were a conference committee, so we can look at, the two bills. And then Senator Marty and I will present a short 10-minute presentation of House File 196, unless he's having back surgery, which he's in peril of, in which case it'll be Senator Corrine. And then Mr. Poistra will present, you know, in 10 minutes or so, the governor's bill, and then members can discuss and ask questions and kind of understand some of the differences. So that's an opportunity for all of us. But your other question about, you know, how will they be meshed together, Chair Walker and I are meeting with Speaker Kelleher on someday next week, I don't know which day yet, without looking at my calendar, to discuss this very thing, because we're trying to decide, and people, in, I'm glad you asked the question, because I think people in this room would be interested too. We're trying to decide which way we get more money for the bills, if we have it travel alone and get its own appropriation, or if we make sure we fight for our appropriations in each finance committee. And we're kind of thinking it might be the latter, because some of the things we're asking for, like employment, aren't just for people with mental illness, but it's the same funding stream if you're looking at extended employment basic for people with developmental disabilities. The mental health community works in coalition with other groups, and some housing, you know, things we fight for are not just for people with mental illness. They're often, you know, mesh with what other disability groups are advocating for. So, but we don't know that. We're going to ask Speaker Kelleher which way will we get more money, and that will help us decide.
Yes, Representative Tinkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Garland. I appreciate that information, and it is good for members to know that at that March 7th meeting, there'll be that side-by-side, so I think that'll be very helpful. So, Madam Chair, based on that information, I'd like to withdraw the DE1 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Tinkelstein. That is the last of our amendments, so is there any further discussion on House File 196 at this time? Yes, Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's been obviously a lot of good work by a lot of people in coming up with this comprehensive omnibus bill, and I appreciate that. I think it's unfortunate that we don't yet know what the total cost of all of this is going to be. And obviously at some point, some priority decisions are going to have to be made. And the way I understand it, this committee will not have a chance to weigh in on that. And I think that's very unfortunate. In talking with my mental health folks back in my community, I asked them to tell me, you know, which they like it all, obviously, but obviously not everything rises to the same level of priority, that there are some things in the bill that are critical and others not, and it's unfortunate that this committee will not have an opportunity to do some prioritizing here with regard to, you know, if we have this much money, what goes and what has to wait for a later day. I think that's most unfortunate. That and with regard to the governor's bill, obviously I sort of have the impression that that the whole discussion will be anticlimactic, and I hope Representative Greiling, you indicated that there are many things that are the same. I would hope and expect that there maybe are some things in the governor's bill that isn't in your bill, and that you would remain open to maybe adding some things to your bill as we go along. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Lennon. You make very good points. And actually, I, which a lot of people know, but I haven't discussed it with you, I was disappointed that this committee ended up in the format that it was. I've been pitching for the last few years to have there be a mental health division, but my vision was that it would be not a division, but a subcommittee of the five funding divisions that this bill is now going to. And I did exactly envision what you're talking about, that this committee would continue to always be working with the five finance committees to prioritize and to help, you know, constantly be talking back and forth. Some other legislator apparently had a bright idea to have it be this way, but now it's a policy committee under only Health and Human Services. And I was happy that we had a mental health division, but very disappointed that if my idea wasn't implemented, but instead this other legislator's idea. But I have asked Representative Walker if we couldn't still continue as a group, because we are the ones that pick this committee and we're the ones that really are interested in mental health. If we couldn't still constantly, you know, talk about the total package and whatever, whether we get a lump sum for mental health or the more likely thing, you know, it's going into the various omnibus finance bills, if we couldn't still discuss and advise through this committee, and I hope that that will happen.
Thank you, Representative Browning. Representative McFarland?
I guess that, Madam Chair, I guess that you kind of answered my question. I was wondering, after the governor's bill is read, is there any reason to meet except to just discuss? Are we going to be hearing any other bills or anything like that?
Representative Browning?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am not chair, so I couldn't answer that question.
I'll take advice here.
Okay.
Yes, Ms. McNulty says there are other bills that we'll be hearing.
Good, I appreciate hearing that. And I also wanted to add and thank Representative Greiling and everybody who helped with this. There's been a lot of work put into it. It's been well thought out, and I just want to thank you.
Thank you, Representative McFarland. Representative Greiling, do you have any last comments?
I would just say thank you very much to the support from the committee members, and I'm very pleased, even though it's not the format I wanted, I'm very pleased with the members that got appointed to the committee. So thank you.
Okay. So the motion is I recommend to pass this House File 196 as amended and move on to the Committee on Health and Human Services. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion stands approved.
Thank you.
And the bill moves forward. Oh. And the meeting stands adjourned.